Good morning and welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guests are Carolyn Chambliss and Eric Rhodes from Lakeview Health, the Addiction Treatment and Recovery Center. In this episode of Healthcare Consultants Podcast, Carolyn and Eric talk to us about the challenges people face and what it takes to take back control over your life through sobriety. Let's go ahead and say good morning to Eric Rhodes, is on the program with us. We're still waiting for Carolyn. Eric, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Nick. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well on a Tuesday. Not that it feels like the Monday, but it is the Tuesday. And I think bright and early after a three-day weekend is a great time to talk about addiction treatment and recovery. Three-day weekends always give people triggers, don't they?
Yeah. I can tell you by doing this for the last 15 years that this is typically one of the largest inbound call volume weeks for us. So almost always after coming out of the summer, kids going back to school, some of the challenges associated with the shift in life and returning to a different type of environment. This weekend typically proves to be.
It's one of the things that people I've talked to who have gone through addiction treatment and recovery, you know, talk about being well on their feet at home and in their comfortable, controlled environment. But it's really when people go out into, the rest of their life, and it's seeing, you know, for example, a lot of these three-day weekend events include family, vacations, people we don't see all the time, and there's always a lot of questions there for people are, how am I going to handle this and how are people going to respond? And I suppose it takes every time you go out there and do another event where you know you're going to have triggers, it's another step to say, all right, I got past that. So that's an important thing. So today a few of the things that we're going to cover, we're going to talk about making that decision to take back control of your life, also the process of detoxing and resuming healthy functioning. Also talking about addressing sources of depression, anxiety, and addiction, and then really what it looks like to go through the program at Lakeview Health, everything with program options and insurance questions. And we have Carolyn, who just joined us as well. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Eric and I were just talking a little bit about three-day weekends and how there can be so many triggers out there.
I am sorry, too. I was on a call. I apologize for being a minute late. But, yeah, the weekends are so difficult on addicts and alcoholics trying to find what do I do. Yesterday they had, luckily, an extra meeting particularly for people, addicts and alcoholics, that normally isn't available only for the holiday. And we also have one that runs 24 hours at another location, so they have somewhere to go and somewhere to get help during the day for meetings when they have no structure. They don't know what else to do. So there are extra meetings in the community for people during that time, but that's also when people can relapse and they really need to get some treatment.
All right. One of the things, before we go further, I'd like to just cast an overview of the people who are looking for sobriety in their life are not only the people who we normally think of who have hit rock bottom. That's always the tale that people used to tell. Nowadays, especially with COVID and some of the just more information and education people have about general health, I've at least found that there are more people who are looking for sobriety because they just want a healthier lifestyle and they just have chosen not to drink, not to use substances. And so we have a very wide variety of people, and I think that the triggers still apply to the people who maybe are testing their, you know, toes into the water in the 30-day sober curious thing we hear a lot about. So, and I know that whenever I have stopped drinking for 30 days or more, you know, people always ask the question, oh, are you in recovery? And you have to be able to answer some interesting questions from people, because not everyone's on the same page. And I think that the stigma and the thoughts that people have about people going through addiction treatment and recovery, I think, has changed.
It has. It has. I actually, my niece chose to do the sober curious thing for a couple of months. And the thing is, she was growing up with my telling her she's got to be careful with using any kind of substances because addiction runs in our family. And so she was aware of it, but she didn't become an addict. She just knew that she was partying kind of hard when she was in college, and she decided the sober curious thing, and she just quit drinking for, she decided, a month. But then a month led to 3 months, and 3 months led to six. And now she's been without any kind of substances for the last couple of years, and she says, I just feel healthier. This is a healthier lifestyle. I don't have to have hangovers. I don't. But the thing is, she hadn't gotten burned, because I've seen other people trying to just, well, I'm going to stop now because it is starting to be kind of difficult, and they find they can't, not without help.
Right, and there's a lot of people who did make the decision to say they're only going to drink on weekends. Well, the problem is, if you're only drinking on weekends, now you're spending half of your week going through withdrawal, and you're trying to get back, maybe take you to Wednesday until you are clear, until you're clear-headed. And I think that the problem is that people tend to go back and think that when they are, say they are going to just drink on the weekends, they drink the amount that they drank when they were drinking regularly, and it just doesn't work. So I think after a while people say, this is kind of a yo-yo situation. Maybe I just need to cut this stuff out, or only have a drink when I go to a restaurant, or just, why do I need to do this at all? And I think that the further people get into thinking, well, why am I drinking? Is it because we have a drinking-based society, or we have, you know, people around us and their expectations? And so there's really a process to changing how you approach and look at things, you know, for the person who makes that voluntary decision, as well as the person who it really does have that rock bottom moment where maybe they had a you know, car wreck, or some other someone got hurt, they got sick, they went to a hospital. All sorts of bad things can happen that wake people up.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing is that they will be also be turning to marijuana now, to weed, because it's, they say it's okay though, it's legal, and I can drink it, or I can drink it, I can smoke it every day, or take the gummies, or whatever it is, and they get addicted to that too, not realizing, saying, yeah, but it's legal. Well, so is alcohol, and you can get addicted to alcohol as well. And it's real hard for somebody to finally face the fact that that weekend thing that they were doing is getting worse and worse, and whoops, I can't stop on my own. And I'm sorry, Eric, right. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just, thanks, Carolyn. I was just going to make a comment that, you know, I think, you know, this idea of, you know, rock bottom or, you know, casual use, everything's on that continuum, right? And when you look at the criteria for addiction, it starts with, you know, continued use despite negative consequences, and those consequences can be different for everyone. It's a really highly complex disease. You know, we're talking about, you know, different brain transmitters causing pleasure and allowing shifts in the way that our brain functions. But I think, Nick, when you were talking about what does it mean for us individually, how does it, you know, how do you look at what being in control is for me, or how do I manage my emotions? And that really is where I think some of this use starts. It's not necessarily you know, a situation where somebody, you know, decides that, you know, they're going to go out and use every weekend, and then before you know it, you know, you're feeling pretty crummy into the week. Although that happens regularly, and I would argue that that's a, you know, a consequence of addiction. But I think there is a continuum where each of us have to kind of look at what our situation is, what would we want to change, what are our values, you know, how do we individually assess that. And, you know, from an addiction treatment perspective, we use a pretty sophisticated scoring method, but, you know, not everybody has access to that. So how in your life do you feel good about, you know, what these ideas are that you want to try to change? How do you want to live your day or your life day to day?
And one of the things that I think people struggle with when it's almost like, and to Carolyn's point about people using marijuana to not, you know, I suppose, like, if that's helping you not drink, that's a good thing. But, you know, it's sometimes we see people replacing one addiction with another, you know, and so that it's also, I mean, it could be anything, you know, like, and so underneath what I've learned is, you know, and I'm not, this is not my area, I'm not my wheelhouse, but what I have read and learned myself is that there's the underlying, fixing what's underlying the addiction is what's important. So people who try to do everything on their own, you can do things a lot on your own, but you don't get the benefit of counseling with people who understand that there's an addiction underneath that addiction, underneath, you know, what are the root causes of these things? And I suppose that's where y'all at Lakeview are so helpful.
Well, and that's the really fantastic thing. You're right, because of the fact that we're dual diagnosis. And I think you're bringing up a really good point that there's something underlying. A lot of addicts and alcoholics, they're suffering very, very likely, because that's why we are dual diagnosis, and we will address the mental health and the fact that they've probably been through some kind of trauma either before their addiction or during or both, but also self-medicating. They may be suffering from depression, anxiety, bipolar, some kind of mood disorder that they're trying to find an answer, and when they find it in be it alcohol, cocaine, speed, cannabis, whatever it may be, they feel like, okay, I found the holy grail. This is what I've been needing. Now I feel quote-unquote normal. But that's where the abuse can begin. But that's the sad thing, because you're too late, because very likely they're going to start using that to fix that. And then all of a sudden it's not working anymore. And it's a really tough slope where that's why Lakeview Health is so helpful, because we are not just straight addiction treatment. It's working the client as a whole, you know,
absolutely,
mentally, spiritually, physically, the whole thing. And you even mentioned, too, that it was interesting that they might have been in a car accident or something happens. And yeah, we also have the chronic pain program that can get them off of all of that, which is amazing. That's what attracted me to represent this group, because of the fact that there are people that have a car accident and they don't drink and drug. They don't do anything, but all of a sudden they're on these painkillers that they all find as they move along they need more and more of, or higher doses of, and they find themselves addicted to that. And that's a different kind of treatment. That's a different kind of person. They're not out to party and getting, you know, or trying to fix whatever malady they had. So, but we can address that. And we're one of the very few that addresses that, where they actually walk out of our facility narcotic-free with that pain management program under their belt to keep them from having to call the doctor yet again and saying, hey, I'm still in pain. You know, we're going to help them with that. It's something that is really amazing, because it's a very different kind of client there you have as well.
Well, it's, you know, the connection here on this program is our sponsor, Michael Favia at the Chicago Health Law Firm of Michael V. Fabian Associates. And those who have listened to our podcast before know that Mr. Fabia works with healthcare professionals in the licensing and regulation area. And we've frequently shared content about issues with nurses having problems with, you know, doctors, other people in the healthcare professions who've had problems with some of these substances that they were, there was no ill intent in the beginning, but it sneaks up on people. And the sneaking up on people, and the people don't realize that they have a problem. You know, it's not always on TV. We see the nurse who falls asleep at the drug cart, and there's a whole big to-do about it. But in real life, you know, it's also likely that the person is, you know, going undetected, and nobody realizes that there's an issue, including that person. So, and because people are so worried about, oh, if I seek help, everyone's going to think I'm an addict. I mean, all we can think of all the different words that come to our head when we think of addiction in people, and you know, it's not. You know, people tend to think about the homeless population. You know, people by the gutter. You know, for lack of a better description. And that's not, and while that is a true problem, very real problem, there are a lot of other people who have addiction problems that are just as serious, who are among us in our professions and are afraid possibly to, here's the thing, if they're afraid, I know within the lawyer community, because they taught us this in law school, you know, that you can have problems and people are always afraid to ask for help because they're afraid of their license and losing their profession. What do you tell people when someone asks, you know, what if someone finds out?
You know, that's such a good point, Nick. I really appreciate it, because we do work with professionals and they're very different kinds of people. And you've got to figure that out, because, you know, you would, a doctor, his personality, or a nurse, somebody that works the way they do, they're very, very different people than your administrative assistant. And I'm not saying they're not just as important, but it's a different kind of personality. And that's why we have a professionals program. And because of the fact that, yes, they've got a lot to worry about with their licensing, God bless Mike Fabia. We're happy to work with somebody such as himself and his firm. We have advocates at our facility to work with our professionals, such as doctors, nurses, pilots, lawyers. And we work with a number of people that work with them, because they do have continuing care afterwards, thank God, as do we try and do that for all of our clients, not just our professionals, but any clients that leave our facility, we make sure that they're going to have some kind of aftercare to continue their care. We're not just going to say, okay, go to your AA meetings, good luck. We're going to make sure that they've got a plan to continue their sober path. And with these professionals, that's essential as well. I mean, just also for their licensing, to be able to continue their job. And God bless them, we're able to work with them on that. And that's something that also really attracted me to work with Lakeview Health to help all of these clients. It's the whole population where we can truly help them. And the interesting thing is our counselors, our clinicians that are working with that professional group are only working with that professional group. So it's really, it's amazing, because it does take a different kind of therapy and the whole thing in working with them. I'm sure, Eric, you have something you could add to that would be helpful as well. That is just, it's an incredible program.
Yeah. I think this is one area where addiction treatment has evolved greatly in the last 10, 15 years. I think, you know, the general population, 10%, has a substance use disorder in some way, shape, or form. That doesn't skip individuals that have a professional licensure. So we can pretty much assume that part of the disease is evident in the healthcare profession, in the legal profession. One of the ideas, and Nick, you said, you know, you guys going through law school, you had, you know, you had this kind of discussion around what that looks like as far as seeking help. We've evolved it from there, and I think that, you know, the biggest thing we can do when we speak with, you know, a licensed professional is to give them hope, right? I think a lot of that fear is based on you know, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my profession? I've spent my entire career getting to this point. And some of our best advocates, some of our biggest champions are individuals who have navigated the ability to become sober, have navigated their licensure issues, have been able to return to work in a way that has allowed them to be much more productive than they were during their days of use, and become vocal. So I think that's part of what we're seeing now is, you know, this idea of some of our best physicians, some of our best attorneys in large firms are individuals who have, you know, looked at their disease, looked at their substance use disorder, challenged it with rigorous honesty, and have come out on the other side with a view of life and a view of their profession that, you know, is different than what they had previous. So I appreciate you guys talking about that. I think it's incredibly eye-opening to start to look at, you know, professionals who may have a disorder, you know, have professional boundary issues, the challenges associated with returning to work and relapse, and just general well-being and health in the licensed healthcare or licensed professional environment.
One other thing I have to say is we also are able to combine that with the professionals and the pain program because we have a contract with the NFL Players Trust. So we are able to help those athletes, and we work with many kinds of athletes, but we do have this trust that can help them. Think of the retired football players and the pains they have and everything they've been through. And we have a facility where they can come and they can get that help. And we even have some beds that are big enough for those football players. But the whole point is that we are able to help all kinds of professionals, you know, business owners, and the doctors and the lawyers and the it's something that I feel very great about our facilities, where we can help these people that are in need of help and unsure where they can turn to and if they'll relate to anybody at that facility, because you've got to have other people that are like you when you go in for help. If you walk into a treatment center and it's all a bunch of 18-year-olds and you're a professional in your 40s or 50s, it's not going to work.
Right.
So it's really amazing. And we work with, as I said, all different, you know, the population is varied, but we will also be very particular in understanding the needs of these particular groups, as well as LGBTQ. I mean, we're working with everyone.
Well, and when working with everyone, I also want to stress that individual who decides they want to stop drinking for better health. And I am one of those individuals, and when I stopped drinking, it was a combination of my father had passed from liver cancer that was tied to hemochromatosis, which is a throwback from, you know, the Irish potato famine. My father was, you know, full-blood Irish, as well as I am. And so there was a health concern there, you know, and at 40 years old, I said, I'm going to start dialing it back. And at 45, I said, I'm just going to stop. And what I didn't expect were people asking me questions like, oh, how long have you been in recovery? Are you in recovery? Initially for me, I thought, well, I don't know, like, if I'm in recovery, because I always felt like someone had a problem. And although I never really thought that I had a problem, I know that, you know, life is better when you're sober. It's a lot easier and there's a lot less anxiety. You wake up earlier in the morning and all that, but, you know, so it's sort of similar to if you go to one of the traffic schools, you know, where you have to, you know, go to this thing to get out of a ticket, and you hear the people who've had, like, all sorts of horribly crazy things happen to them, and you're just, you're like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, are these other people going to be offended that I'm here because I haven't had these serious problems? I just want to be healthier. So there's a lot of people out there, you know, again, not just in specific groups or professions, but just people from all stages of relationship with substances. And so that, so, you know, that goes to my next question of, in a, you know, pandemic, post-pandemic, wherever we are with COVID and all that, there's still a lot of people who don't want to go somewhere, you know, physically. They want to do things remotely. They want to do things from home. So what are some of the options for people who, I mean, I understand that some people need to be there in a treatment facility, but are there also options to help people who maybe need more of a, I suppose, call it an outpatient type of experience?
Exactly, and there are, and that's the wonderful thing, too, because when I talk to clients, which I will, and or their family members more often, there are options if they're unwilling or unable to stay in a treatment facility for 4 weeks. They're going to have the option of intensive outpatient. We just say IOP, and people look at me like, what's that? It's intensive outpatient, so they'll only have so many hours. And the beauty is they're going to have places where they can go to work still, and then they go to their IOP after work. So they'll be able to have so many hours per week to be able to continue group sessions, and they can also have one-on-ones with their therapist. There are treatment, we've got IOPs in the area. There's something that is basically open for all. It's a matter of finding the right people to see and to work with. And that's why when my clients are talking to me, I tell them, please don't just Google it, man. You're not going to get the quality facilities. Talk to professionals such as myself that work with this, because those are also places I will suggest we send our clients for aftercare, because we do believe strongly in aftercare. When they get home from treatment, they are not done with treatment. They need to continue with one-on-one therapy is helpful, because these people usually, as I said, are suffering from trauma, and we have that trauma program that is just starting their treatment. It's not the end. They've got to continue that, because it takes a while to work through that. So there are options that are a lower level. It's what's going to be best for them. Eric, I think you might have something to add to that.
Yeah. So a couple of things. First, I think one of the, Nick, you mentioned wherever we're at in this COVID thing. I believe we've evolved a ton with regard to being able to provide treatment and education through, telepsychiatry, telecounseling. That has become just more of a fixture than ever, and we very quickly were able to kind of bring up some of the services that existed, but weren't really a core part of what we did as addiction medicine. So that's evolved a ton over the last 18 months, 2 years. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that Carolyn made a good point about getting in touch with somebody who is either a professional or is close to addiction treatment, because part of I think of having a good direction is going to be being assessed. And you don't necessarily have to go through a formal assessment, but, getting an idea of, what is it that you would like to try to accomplish, and what's the best fit for that particular goal. And in your particular case, Nick, it may have been, further education. We do assessments for professionals in some case where it's just further education as a requirement. So I think part of the idea of going through a good assessment that gives you an idea of where you're at in all of the dimensions, but where you're at in each of those components of those dimensions, and you can get a better idea of what might be available to you.
Well, and especially for those who, like I said, those who just wanted to stop drinking for whatever reason, whether it be losing weight. I mean, one thing that really helped me, put the nail in the coffin was one of my clients is a skinny health and weight loss center, and I had tried articles about, one drink of a beer or wine will put you out of fat burning mode for 3 to 4 days. Versus liquor will put you out of fat burning mode for 3 to 4 hours. And mine was never a liquor drinker, but I'll tell you what, when, just trying it, like 3 weeks, no alcohol, all of a sudden the weight starts falling right off. Yeah. So for me, it was like, oh, and I'm also feeling better. And now, so for me, I'm the Google person who's, looking up all these other things and, looking up after how many months, like, what are you supposed to be experiencing with your synapses and all this? And you start it's true. You do start seeing triggers of things. And for me, I had to go through a family vacation where a lot of people were drinking. And I say, there's a window. We got back from something, and my younger brother goes right for his whiskey. And, to me, I was like, man, after mini golf, with the fam, that would be good. I'd love a glass. But you know what? After an hour or a half, he starts getting red in the face and starts getting a little aggressive with his humor and different things. And I'm still happy and sober, with my Topo Chico or herbal tea or whatever, And, so for me, it was next step was no caffeine. Let's kick the caffeine. Let's see how relaxed. And I don't think people realize how much anxiety affects them on their daily level until they start experiencing life without that anxiety. And it takes more and more of those situations and more of those hard times and triggers to get through those and realize I can do this too. And I didn't need, so again, there's people at all levels on here, not just what, thought about, years ago, people who had treatment was such a negative stigma. And I'm so glad to hear that so many people are successfully, talking about sober lifestyles and all this. And I just think it gives a lot of people hope who think that they could use some help, but they don't know if it's appropriate to call a treatment facility like Lakeview Health because they're not sure if it's right for them. So if someone has questions, how do they know what to do if they, do you talk to people who are on the fence and say, what are some of the initial questions and experiences of people, and especially, paying for things with insurance, does their insurance cover it? Does it not? I know we're a little bit over our time. We can go a little bit over if you have some thoughts on those.
Eric, or shall I?
Go ahead.
The most important thing is finding the right treatment, to be honest with you. Yes, finances are very important, but the biggest, most important issue is this the right facility? Can I work with the people here? Will I relate to the people here? Are they dual diagnosis? Do they work with trauma? Can they help me with whatever else might be bothering them, whether it's professional, pain, all of the above? You want to find the right facility, and there are also facilities where it's going to need to be even more so mental health. You've got to find out what is going to be best for this client, and yes, we do assessments to be able to figure out, are we the right fit, because we do not want to just fill beds with heads. We care about if we are the right fit for that client or if they need a higher level of care or a lower level of care, just as you were talking about. So it's everything to do with that. Eric, I think you can add to that.
Yeah. So I think, a call to Carolyn in order to kind of get the ball rolling fairly quickly. We can find out through 20, 30 minute a phone assessment where we're at. And then, looking at what the financial side of treatment looks like, is there an in-network or an out-of-network benefit? What is my, you know, what is my insurance going to cover? What is my copay? What is my max out-of-pocket? So there's a lot of idiosyncrasies to running through all that, but you know, finding somebody who will openly and transparently discuss that with you and give you good options is probably the key to making sure that it is going to be the best fit for you. So I'd make a recommendation to reach out to Carolyn, to myself, to somebody at Lakeview, and if we're not going to be the right fit, we will certainly make sure that we find the right fit for you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you all for being on the program today. I think this is a very important subject for, you know, not only the healthcare professionals that we all know through Michael V. Fabian and Associates, but also just everyone out there who wants to have a better life and live a healthier life. And I think, again, one of the things that we learned from COVID is this concept of all the comorbidities out there, and a lot of people who did get really sick and did lose their lives may, you know, be thinking a lot about what it takes to make healthier choices in the future. I know a lot of people who saw that weight issues tied in a lot with people's experiences and results with the coronavirus, and a lot of people that jump-started there, like, I need to stop with the sugar and the processed foods and get healthy, and people take it really seriously. So, like with that and with addiction treatment, you know, and the same thing with weight loss. It is a long, just because you lose all the weight doesn't mean you can go back to the ice cream and the fast food and everything else. It's a lifetime thing, a decision. So I think when we talk about alcohol and substance abuse recovery, it's the same thing. It's not that alcohol and drugs are so special, but it's anything that can make us in a state of healthy or not healthy.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Carolyn, I want to thank you so much for your time on what normally feels like a Monday morning on a Tuesday after the three-day weekend.
I hope that
people did have a good weekend, and it's not, you know, we look at these issues with substance abuse, and it's, people don't want to talk about it, you know, until they get to a point where they feel that they've, you know, they're in control. Then they want to talk about it all the time. So we find an appropriate place to talk about it, because myself, I know that I probably annoyed a lot of people with talking about the benefits and the positive things and how healthy and happy I felt, you know, when I first stopped drinking. And I suppose that, you know, in trying to help people, it probably got a little bit annoying, but I'm glad that I could share part of my experience with our conversation here, because there really are people at all different stages of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, there are.
All right. So people who want to get in touch and take the next step, what should they do?
They can feel free to call me at 312-909-9670. They can reach me at that number again, 312-909-9670. They can also contact me via email if they want to start with that, and that's fine. And by the way, that's a cell phone, so they can text me too. But my email is cchambliss, that's cchambliss at lakeviewhealth.com. I also have one other number that would go directly to my admissions if for some reason I didn't answer, but I do answer my phone weekends, holidays, holy days, after hours, during hours, and before. Another number is 312-801-7070. They can answer questions, but I'm your local contact here in the Midwest, and I'm happy to talk to anybody that needs help in any way, anytime.
All right. Well, thank you again for your time this morning, and we wish everyone well, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.